In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
CRIMEWAV. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
I'm Anthony Neal Smith, and this is Psycho Redneck Pickup Truck Killing Spree. Monica can rot in hell. She can go fuck herself. She can kiss my ass, her and Jorge both. Just kiss my motherfucking sweaty ass. All this rolls through my mind as I burn rubber on the curb outside Monica's duplex, spinning wheels to make my point and then shooting off like fireworks towards the interstate, so I can head west out of Sioux Falls and drink at every bar through the Badlands on my way to Mount Rushmore. I'm gonna jump off Teddy Roosevelt's head and shout, "Fuck you, Monica Davies," all the way down. I've got Gretchen Wilson playing way too loud, shredding my factory speakers. Got them angry man tears streaming down my cheeks while I pound the steering wheel and yell out, "Fucking bitch, fucking whore, fucking bitch!" I'd just come over to apologize for the fight the night before. And there I find Monica and Jorge in the kitchen eating strawberries. Off each other. Naked. I rant, I rave, I plead, I tell her I love her, and I think she's the one. How could she? What's this bitch do? All 160 pounds of dyed red hair, and too much rouge, love of my ever-loving life. She's flat as cardboard. She's stone cold. Like I ain't meant a thing to her. When I'm done giving her my best eye-to-eye, she laughs. She laughs hard. She says, "That's a good act. You must have watched some Tom Cruise last night." "Hey, I came to say I'm sorry." She said, "There's no sorry. We're through. I'm not going to put up with some man telling me what I can and can't do. I'm not going to put up with some man telling me when I can go out and when I can't. You don't want to go dancing? That's fine, but I'm sure as hell going to go." She can't even take her hands off Jorge while talking to me, rubbing his thigh, all sticky with strawberry juice. "Jorge, my friend since junior high. He even taught me some Spanish and let me come along with his family on a trip to Mexico City, where we bonded like brothers. Jorge, he can't even look at me. He knows he's wrong and shit. He knows this ain't right." But they're back there in town, and I'm on my way to a burnout that'll make the national news, at least for a little while. When I hit the first one, I'm thinking it's just another part of my shitty-ass day. I'm drunk, too, having slammed tequila shots and honey vices at a chain store bar and grill off an interstate exit, where I fed dollars into the jukebox. Tired of Gretchen, I turned to Motley Crue for support. Monica hated Crue. Or maybe I did. I forgot which one of us hated that Tommy Lee fucker. Didn't matter. I sang along to "Too Young to Fall in Love" until the bartender asked me to stop. I flipped her off hard, man. The one where your fist is all shaky. And then I made it to my truck and laughed and sang more, but I only knew the chorus. "Too young to fall in love, too young to fall in love, too young to fall in love." Back on the interstate, westward ho. Then I hit a goddamn bear. No, it's not a bear. It's big, though. I think it might have fucked up a tire. There's this blur darting out of the fields, thumps my truck. I swerve over the line, then back again, making for the shoulder because even if things were okay, I don't want to grab the attention of the state troopers while blotto and suicidal. All jail will do is calm me down. And what the hell good is that? So I pull off the shoulder and wait for a semi to pass before I get out and check, having to cover my mouth and nose with my shirt because of the dust kicked up by road crew in the opposite lanes, filling cracks and potholes with gravel. The tires are fine. The bumper is plastic, so it's good. The headlight cover has a crack in it, but I don't know if that's from the bear creature or not. What is that thing, anyway? I walk back to check. I see the blood trail leading to a giant, furry, brown mass, split open at the belly, making an awful whine. Oh, shit. It's a dog. It's a good dog, too. Like a hunting dog. It looks like my uncle's. A retriever, maybe. Poor goddamn thing. I won't think he's poor until later, though. Right now, I yell at it. Can't you keep off the fucking road? You think we're made of air, all these things whizzing by? You can't figure out the basics here? And I kick him. Okay, blame the booze. I kick him hard. But the wine's gone. He's gone. I'm a dog killer. And it feels bad for a minute before it starts to feel good. I picture Monica on the ground there, only a little less furry, with her flab ripped out, looking at me with, oh, if I'd only stayed faithful eyes. Go on, I say, and nod like a gangsta. That's right. You know it. Strut back to the cab of the truck and get in. I crank up. I'm still on track. The dog isn't enough revenge. It only makes me feel better. It's Monica that should feel something. And that ain't good. Right as I'm starting to pull back onto the highway, something else hits the truck. It can't be me hitting it, because I'm barely off the brakes. Big, heavy, orange, bouncing off the driver's window. I think it's a flying pumpkin at first. Turn left, look down. It's a traffic cone. Right behind that are the two road crew guys jogging over quickly, not looking happy. It doesn't concern me at first. Don't all road crew workers look miserable? The one who looks like a drill sergeant pounds on my window, smudges it up. His partner crosses his arms. He's a thin guy with a mustache heavier than his whole face. I roll down the window. What else can I do? I say, help you gentlemen with something? Yeah, that your dog? He's not mine, he just ran out of the trees. There's nothing I could do. Well, he's got to be somebody's dog. Hey, Mick, go check his collar. Mick's the one with the stash. He lopes over, kneels down, shakes his head. Nothing. I start to roll my window up. Like I said, the tough guy curls his fingers over the top of the glass. It stops rising. I hit the button a couple more times. Nothing. The tough guy says, listen, you think it's someone else's problem, but it ain't. It's a hell of a lot of other people's problems when you leave him here to stink up the air and have his blood and guts smeared all over the concrete. I didn't hit him on purpose. I didn't question your motives, man. I'm talking about your response. This shows what sort of man you are, right, Mick? Mick nods. Telling, yeah, it is. I think about throwing it into drive and zooming. They're cooling my heat, and that ain't cool. I want to get to the monument when it's daylight so there'll still be good footage. I say, look guys, I'm really running late. The tough guy reaches across me and switches the engine off. He takes my keys. That's when I start fearing a beating. Torture. Rape. This beefy son of a bitch has too much twinkle in his eyes. I can't hold off two of them. I feel like I'm going to piss myself. I say, give me my keys. Hey, as soon as you do the right thing, there's nothing in this bed of your truck except soda cans and rum bottles. I need you to take the dog with you and give him a proper burial on down the road. I don't move for half a minute. Listening to cars zipping and roaring past, feeling the drafts. You're serious. He opens my door. Hop to it. So I do. I lift the bleeding, sticky, dead dog while these guys stand there and watch. I'll give them this. They don't crack a smile. Serious to the hilt. I lay the dog's corpse in the bed and look down to see blood striping my shirt, bits of fur sticking to the wet. There, done. My keys, please. The tough guy dangles them over my palm, pulling them back when I reach. Now, what did we say you'll do with him? I'll bury him, no problem. Nice burial. Say a prayer. Yeah, I will. The tough one looks at Mick, who solemnly closes his eyes and nods. A grimy, meth-addicted monk, it looks like. I take the keys and give them all exasperation and eye-rolling, cursing while climbing in the cab and cranking and shouting and rolling out and sneaking a peek in the rear view, because I'm scared shitless of these fruits. That's when I hit the second one. Or when it hit me. A crow. The big-ass crow smacks into the windshield hard enough to crack its neck, even though I swear I haven't got the damn thing up to 20 miles an hour yet. Another look back. Here come the cavalry. The crow is spread out on my hood. I jump out of the cab. That doesn't count. It was suicide. Guy says, in the bed. It smacked right into me. It was like a death wish. They passed another glance between them. Mick raises his fingers like the Pope, then shrugs. The tough guy pulls a hammer out of his work belt and swings it above his head, and I think it's coming down on me. I need to piss twice as bad. Instead of on my skull, the hammer falls on the side view mirror and takes it off just like that. I grab the tough guy's arm, fueled by instinct is all. Hey, fucking up my truck! The bird. He says it all quietly. The bird. I'm going to find out who you guys are, and you're going to pay the bird. What a talent. This guy must have been in witness protection, like a mob guy in his former life. It works. I get the bird and fling it into the rear. Thud. Looks like Sarge wants to complain that I didn't do it right, but he keeps his mouth shut. Without a word, I climb into the cab and take off. I give those two some burning rubber and squealing. It's my second time today. It'll be an even better story for the papers. Spectacular suicide at Mount Rushmore. His truck was a hearse for critters. I run it in my head while getting up to speed. The radio spun to Sean Hannity, smug bastard. I don't need to hear his words to get how wrong he is. My thoughts are on the gory National Enquirer shots. Me in free fall. I'm going to give the paparazzi time to get there. I'm not stupid. The crow and the dog in the bed of the truck. Monica's puffy, sad-eyed face. Then what? Well, I hope she lives a long, guilt-filled, motherfucking life of whoring around, never able to replace what it was I gave her so well. In the rear view, at a distance, the road crew duo is following me. That's when my stomach cramps up and I choke back bile. Okay, maybe it's not me. They're done with the day's work, and we're all just happening to drive in the same direction. Okay, that's all it is. Then why are my balls shriveling up? Hannity shouts at a caller, don't give me that liberal feel-good baloney. And here comes number three. I see him. The deer starts to sprint, and time slows down, and what the hell can anyone do except tap the brakes even though you're supposed to speed up and deflect the fucker? I'm hoping he'll get past me first. I'm hoping we really are in slow-mo, rather this being some trick of my brain. I can see individual tufts of fur. I can smell the gaminess. All the math adds up. I'm hitting him. At the last second, I punch the gas. The corner bangs his rear flank in midair, and there's a moment of relief when it looks like he'll go swinging off to the left and be someone else's problem. The next moment, his ass is heading for my windshield, and I flinch, cover my eyes with my arms, hear the crunch, and then there's pinpricks on my face, and I can't breathe like a punch in the face with a boxing glove, like Mike Tyson holding it there against my nose and smushing it and my mouth sucking at nothing. It's my first airbag. Foot on the brake, hard. and I hope I haven't flipped over. I hope I haven't crossed lanes and am about to be slammed by a semi. When the bag deflates, there's a hole in the windshield, little pebbles of glass everywhere. The frame of the truck up near the oil change sticker looks like crumpled aluminum foil. A huge dent in the roof that the top of my head nearly touches. But the truck seems otherwise fine. I throw it into park and step out. I'm straddling the shoulder in the lane. And right in the middle of the road, a dead deer. A big buck. 9 points. His back end dark and wet and mangled. I stare at the sky and ask, "Is this some sort of sign?" It doesn't answer. I wipe my face, but my palm stings. I pull it away, streaks of blood and shiny slivers. I pick up the crushed side view from the floorboard. I can still see in the cracked reflection. Skin dotted with red and glittery green. At least my eyes were okay. Cuts should heal up in a week. Stretch my arms, my neck, and I don't notice anything. Until just then, I see the road crew truck about 100 yards back, sitting on the shoulder, waiting. The two guys like stones. The headlights blink at me. I point at the buck. How the hell am I supposed to lift that into my truck? The headlights blink again, like they're telling me I have to figure it out. Shit. Maybe they're angels without me knowing. Or maybe I died when I hit the dog, and this is my afterlife, my punishment, for all eternity. Either way, I have to find a way to get this monster into my truck. Pulling it by the antlers is hard enough, but I get it done. The traffic has died down to nothing, which is weird enough. If just one person would stop to help, maybe I could still make it to the mountain early enough. Why weren't these road guys helping? Where's a helpful trucker Samaritan when you need him? I figure it out. It takes me struggling with the buck, and then the tire jack, and then I gotta get the rear of the deer even with the front, and I drape it across the tailgate. And when he's more or less even, I strain every muscle in my body to push him aboard. I'll never get the shit and piss smell off. The blood and guts of the deer mixing with the blood and fur of the dog, and I'm becoming a vegan without even realizing it or wanting to, retching at venison. It's a sin. But finally he's in. I slam the tailgate. I've got a zoo in the bed. I turn to my traveling companions. The lights blink twice. I don't know Morse code, so fuck those guys. I climb in and start off again. The wind's in my face. It stings. I put on shades. It's too dark. I take them off again. It takes a good 10-15 miles before I can actually see traffic again. A couple of SUVs, station wagons, semis carrying foreign pickups to a dealer. I've had enough Hannity, I punch buttons until I get big and rich. They're usually spot on, but I'm not in the mood for save a cowboy, ride a horse. Right, or whatever. I'm too drunk to know. The sun is slipping lower. I need to hurry. Number 4. A possum. Nasty. I scoop him up. Number 5. Another crow. Number 6. Baby mountain lion. Like I said, I wasn't trying to hit these things. Number 7. A bigger mountain lion. I think of it as the older brother. Number 8, a panda. I shit you not. The panda stops me cold. It's lying there, breathing final breaths, and all I can wonder is, where the fuck did you come from? After a few tries on my own, I give up and shrug at the road crew, which blinks at me. I'm telling you, it weighs 1 billion pounds. You do it, okay? Come give it a shot. For the first time in many miles, they catch up. The tough one gets out to help. Barely says anything. Mick, the Zen master, stays in the truck, fingers steepled. The tough one is as strong as he looks, plus he's got a reserve. I help him with the panda, but it feels like he's shouldering most of the weight. Not even a grunt. He's a robot. And when he's done, he slaps his palms together and climbs back into his driver's seat. I shake my head and stand my ground for a few more minutes. It's got ridiculous, hasn't it? No more of this. Time for a confrontation. Before I can start talking, these guys rev the engine, shoot forward, and stop an inch from my chest. They blink the lights 4 times. Okay, fine. You win. I'll be dead soon anyway. And I think it'll be these two cleaning up my body. It's not a comforting thought. I'm exhausted and I stink, but I drag myself back into my cab and slowly pull away. The road crew truck waits until I'm a half mile ahead before pulling out and following at a distance again. Now's my chance. I speed up to 95, thinking I might lose them with a surprise jolt. It seems to work. The truck fades to a dot as I come to an exit. It's not my exit, but I need gas, and I've got a head start, so I need time alone to get my thoughts together and continue daydreaming about Monica's reaction to my suicide. All those accusing eyes at my funeral, making her feel worse and worse. Oh, it's sweet, man. It's enough to rededicate my convictions. The bitch must pay, so I must die. I think I lost those guys. I don't see them as I turn left on the 2-lane road, the sign telling me to expect a gas station in 2.6 miles. Yeah, I'm sure I've lost them. The weird fuckers are probably laughing at me the whole time anyway, getting their rocks off every time I hit another one. They probably poured some animal scent on my truck when I wasn't looking the first time. I had no clue. You know, I haven't hit one animal in over a decade, so is today like some sort of makeup exam? The truck starts bouncing a little, swaying side to side. Squeaking, 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 squeaking. I glance in the rear view and find out what's making the noise easily enough, and it scares the living shit out of me. Big Brother Mountain Lion is alive, and he's fucking the panda. Maybe he's delirious and doesn't know he shouldn't be having cross-species sex. Or maybe that panda's just too cute to ignore. Whatever. He's humping and humping the little Asian honey, I tell you that. I slam the brakes and stumble out. I'm not sure why. The cab's the safest place to be when facing a mountain lion. But he's obsessed and doesn't notice me anyway. Intense on fucking this dead panda like she's never been fucked before. My truck's shocks hold up, but the whole shebang is bouncing like it's in a rap video. I'm in awe. What can I say? Reminds me of a line I read in a lousy cop novel once. They're fighting off death with life. So yeah, go ahead and hump her. I cheer him on. I whistle and clap my hands. I don't even notice when the road crew boys pull up behind me. They get out of the truck and come stand by me and stare, amazed, mouths gaping, until the tough one says, "Well, I didn't expect that." Mick says, "Just goes to show what I told you." The other nods, lifts his eyebrows. "Yeah, you were right all along." I don't care what Mick's right about, or what this little episode means in the larger universal sense. All I know is that standing there watching this mountain lion fuck a dead panda, I don't really want to kill myself anymore. I'm not even that concerned with Monica, the cheating slut, or Jorge, my former friend, or how I'll deal with them tomorrow when I get back home. Instead, I know for certain that on this particular night, I just want a margarita and a whore.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by the Crime Wave.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.